First reading for this Ash Wednesday is found in the book of the Old Testament prophet Joel, chapter 2. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and grief. Tear your heart and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Set aside a day for fasting. Call a solemn convocation. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, even those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, have compassion on your people, O Lord. Do not subject the inheritance you have given us to the scorn of the nations. Do not make us notorious among the nations as an object of ridicule. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The Lord is zealous for his land, and he will take pity on his people. The Lord will respond to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and fresh oil enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I subject you to scorn among the nations. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's your highest priority? After all, today is a strange conjunction of holidays. On the one hand, February 14th is Valentine's Day, a day with lots of hearts and cards and chocolates, and florists make a killing today because everyone wants to buy roses and restaurants are full and charging more than the average day, you know. It's supposed to be a holiday celebrating love between people. But February 14th also happens to be Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday kicks off the church season of Lent. 40 days that focus on repentance and preparation for Easter. Rather than red and pink, you see black and gray. Rather than great sounds of joy, you hear muted sounds of grief over sin. Tonight we are reminded that we are mortals, that we are dust and ashes before God, that death is our rightful lot because we have sinned against God's holy law. That's why for centuries, on Ash Wednesday, Christians have received a cross of ash imposed on their foreheads with these words, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Happy Valentine's Day, honey. So what gets priority? Oh, by the way, I'm very thankful that all of you are here today, perhaps missing out on a Valentine's Day dinner or some other festivities, but you chose to be here. That's good. What's our highest priority? What's most important today? The fact is, we might have trouble finding two more polar opposite holidays than Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday, falling on the same day, and yet, repentance does have something to do with love. Tonight, the prophet Joel helps us to understand how that's possible as he reminds us that turning to the Lord is priority number one. There was trouble coming. The Lord had given his prophet a terrifying vision of destruction coming for the people of Israel. He saw a vast swarm of locusts with wave upon wave like an army destroying all of the crops and everything in their path, and they foreshadowed a very real human army bringing destruction everywhere they went, consuming everything and everyone in their path. What made the vision even more terrifying was this statement right before our reading. The Lord shouts at the head of his army, his forces are very numerous, and those who obey his command are powerful. The day of the Lord is great. It is terrifying. Who can endure it? How terrifying to see God himself leading the charge to wipe out the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Now, on and off for centuries, They had rejected the Lord in spite of his faithfulness, in spite of his faithful love. They had rejected his word in spite of its effective power. They had rejected and even killed his prophets. Judgment was coming. Where could they turn? Do they run? Do they fight? Do they panic? What could they do? As the people of Israel looked down the barrel of God's holy judgment pointed directly at them for all of their wickedness, what would you expect? In that moment, you probably wouldn't expect God to suddenly show mercy, to be nice to people, to send them a message of love. You wouldn't expect that to come from God, who had every right to wipe them off the face of the earth, to pour out his anger and his wrath upon them. But what does the Lord tell them? Even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and grief. Now what's going on here? Is the Lord like, is he being cruel, like he's some kind of playground bully who's being nice to you until you do what he demands? No. In the face of that deserved destruction, the Lord is providing real hope. Tear your heart and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. So what's God saying here? He wasn't bullying them into showing sorrow. Repent or else, or you better repent because there's destruction coming. You're going to get it if you don't. No, the Lord is telling him this. Turn away from your sins. Stop going back to your wickedness. Stop wallowing in your sin. Turn away from your guilt, from your sin with all your heart. And don't just act like you're mourning, but turn back to me. I love you. I don't want to rain down disaster and destruction on your head. I don't want to send you to an eternity separated from me in hell forever. I want you to live and to live with me forever. There is no heartless cruelty here. God is not speaking like a bully, but with a heart full of love for his people in spite of their sins, in spite of their faithlessness, in spite of the judgment that they deserve. The Lord wants them to make him their highest priority again. God wanted his people to stop chasing after other gods or other things or other people or other love or in faith turn back to him and his love. You know, it's like knowing that a car accident is going to happen unless the drivers turn away. God knew what disaster was coming for his people if they did not turn from their sins and live. So he calls them to repent, to turn back to the Lord their God, to make him their highest priority again. And so the prophet urges them, blow the ram's horn in Zion, set aside a day for fasting, call a solemn convocation. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, even those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, have compassion on your people, O Lord. Do not subject the inheritance you have given us to the scorn of the nations. Do not make us notorious among the nations as an object of ridicule. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? You know, in many ways, the ancient Israelites were just like us. They knew what sorrow and grief and repentance were supposed to look like. Now maybe they did it differently than we do, living, 2,700 years ago. But the fact is it was much the same spirit. They tore their garments. They put rough sackcloth material over them. They sat down in the dust and they poured ashes and dust over their heads. They wailed and wept and even hired professional mourners to make their grief clear in case it wasn't clear enough. But that's not what God wanted. He did not want a show. He didn't want them to go through the right motions, but to have a real change of heart. He wanted real repentance. Rather than tear their garments, he wanted their stubborn hearts to break. Rather than water the ground with tears, he wanted everyone to mourn over their sins and live, from the nursing infant to the energetic child, to the bridal couple in full bloom, to the aged elderly, to those who were in the congregation and those who served as priests in God's house. The Lord wanted every one of them to turn back to him, to fast and weep and mourn, not because they had to or because God told them to, but because they were sincerely sorry for their sins. He wanted them to genuinely call on his mercy and his promises. He wanted them to experience his faithful love once again. And when they did, how did he respond? Well, Joel tells us, the Lord is zealous for his land, and he will take pity on his people. Rather than lead the charge against them, the Lord rises up and defends them. God would support their cause. Not only would he take pity and relent, but he would even bless his people with grace, satisfying their needs with blessings for every aspect of their lives. He would be reconciled with them in mercy and love. He would save them from their sin and destruction. And that brings us to today. Yeah, it's Valentine's Day, but it's also Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent force us to take a look, to look long and hard at the dark, ashen reality of sin in our lives. Far too often, haven't we been like that man in Jesus' story? Building our lives around wealth and enjoying ourselves while badly neglecting our relationship with him. Or far too often, we've been like the church in Sardis. They had a reputation for being active and energetic and having all kinds of things going on. But inside they were dead. Do we fall into that too? When we neglect the word of God in our relationship with our Lord. Far too often we realize that in our time, that our time in this world is short. And after that comes eternity in one of two places, and one you really don't want to be at. And yet repentance does not come to us easy. Repentance does not come naturally to us. We're trained. We live in a culture, in a world where you're not supposed to be sorry for what you do or the choices you make or who you think you are. You're supposed to embrace them. Repentance goes against our cultural grain, unless I'm saying sorry for triggering a reaction or doing what our culture considers offensive or even being what Christ has called me to be. Often repentance is nothing more than a show, like it was for the ancient Israelites. We all know how to go through the motions and say sorry for maybe something we did, if we're maybe sorry. We go through the motions, but never address the evil or the guilt or the impenitence that we harbor in our hearts. But repentance is not a work that we do so God will forgive us. If I just do this, if I just do that, if I do the right thing, if I say the right thing here, then God is going to just pour down his blessing upon me. That's not repentance. Instead, the Lord calls us to tear your hearts and not your garments, not your clothing, to not just shed tears, but genuinely grieve for our sins against God. He doesn't want you to look for relief inside yourself, trying to generate, am I sorry enough for this? He doesn't want you to just admit that, yeah, I live a sin-ravaged life. What am I going to do about it? He wants you to turn from your sins and live, to turn away from other loves and turn to him and his love for you. You see, the Lord, in his free and faithful love, calls you with the winsome voice of the searching shepherd, who calls you to turn back to him, to return to him. Why? Because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and he relents from sending disaster. He calls you to turn back to him because of what he accomplished for you on the cross and in an empty tomb. He calls you to turn back to your Lord, who blesses you with satisfying grace, who covers your guilt with forgiveness. your grief with comfort and your disgrace with deliverance. Now perhaps the Lord will spare you. And for Christ's sake, he does. He declares your sins forgiven. In the Savior who bore the full burden of your sins and mine, that we might be declared righteous in God's sight. In love, he hears our cries for mercy, and he turns us back to him, moving us to rejoice even on Ash Wednesday. It is a strange day, isn't it? Today is a strange day of joy and sorrow, of love and ashes. But in God, our Lord of grace, we find the answer to our sorrow and to our mortality. That's why the black mark of ashes on Christian foreheads is in the sign of a cross. There on that cross, God took up our sins, took up our guilt, our sorrow, our suffering, our death, and he demonstrated what true love really is. God shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friends, this Lent and always, remember turning to the Lord who loves you and loves me is priority number one. Amen.